From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome in the Saviour's name to our gospel broadcast. I'm glad you're joining us today, and here to Let the Bible Speak is the Reverend John Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Curran, and it is my pleasure to be on the airwaves once more, and as we come to stand at the very verge of a new year, I trust that as we turn to God's Word today, the Lord will use that Word to bring to you the blessings of heaven upon your life and upon your soul in the year that lies ahead in His blessed will. I want to wish to all of our listeners a blessed new year, and I trust indeed that God will move upon all of our hearts and give to us those desires after Him that will enable us to follow in His ways and walk in His steps. And if you are not saved, it's our prayer that the Lord would please to bring His Word to you with freshness, and even this day bring you unto Himself by His own sovereign grace. And thinking upon the program for today, my mind was turned to Ephesians 5 and the verse 16, where we have these words of the Apostle Paul, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. One of the characteristics of a true believer is that he or she possesses a certain kind of wisdom of which the unsaved know nothing. In verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul makes a clear distinction between the saved and the unsaved man with regard to this particular kind of wisdom, spiritual wisdom. He says, not as fools, but as wise. These words are actually a statement of the fact that the believer is, in a certain sense, not a fool, but wise. He is made wise in the sense of being given spiritual wisdom. And while unsaved people possess, very often to a large degree, natural and human wisdom, common sense as we might call it, yet they are deficient of the wisdom that is in view in these particular verses. The believer, the child of God, is made wise because he is in union with Jesus Christ as his Saviour. The Lord Jesus Christ is the source of all wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 1, 24, and also verse 30, we are told that Christ is essentially the personification of wisdom. It's in Christ that all wisdom is found. Colossians 2, verse 3 tells us that in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So when we're brought to know Christ, we're brought to union with someone who is the very epitome and source of all wisdom. The believer partakes of this wisdom through the new birth, through being born again, regenerated by the power of the gospel. The Apostle Peter tells us in his second epistle that believers are partakers of the divine nature. So there is in the believer a new mind, a new power, a new principle of life that gravitates in the direction of pleasing God and doing His will, so that our natural and our sinful impulses are kept under control. This means that the godly wisdom that has been instilled into the believer's heart begins to govern and control that person's life. And then it is wisdom that's given not only by being in union with Christ and through the new birth, but being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. He gives wisdom to those whom He indwells. He guides them into all truth. He leads them. He is the Spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. He imparts, therefore, wisdom of a spiritual nature. And we read in James 3, verse 17, that there is a wisdom that is from above, that is pure and peaceable, and easily to be entreated, and so on. So here is the wisdom of the Spirit given to the child of God. It is also wisdom that comes to the believer through the Scriptures of truth. We find in 2 Timothy 3, 15, that the Apostle Paul reminded Timothy that he had been made wise unto salvation by means of God's word. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And it goes on to say that by it Timothy had been made wise. Psalm 19 verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And as the believer reads the scriptures, more and more he has wisdom imparted to him. So from all these sources, the Christian is made wise in this sense of spiritual wisdom, and is distinguished from the person who is yet in his sins and is yet unregenerate. What is the result of this wisdom that the believer possesses? Well, the answer is given here in Ephesians 5 and verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. What we are shown here is that the believer has a correct view of life. He has the proper understanding of the state of the world because he sees that the days are evil. And speaking of the days being evil, Paul is simply saying that the world as a system is evil. The world is in control of the powers that are hostile to God, are in active opposition to God. And therefore, the believer, being made wise by the Lord, sees this, he realizes this. This is an opposition, of course, to the mind or the thinking of the unconverted. The unsaved person feels that the world is a wonderful place, but the Christian sees it all very differently. He realizes that behind men, behind what the nations of the earth are doing, is this awful infernal power, which is intent upon bringing ruin to souls and to those things that are really worthwhile and that are spiritual and according to God. So what is the believer to do? Well, he is to redeem the time. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The word redeem means to buy up, and the word time means opportunity. To put it plainly, the Spirit of God is teaching here that those who are spiritually wise are to seize every opportunity that presents itself to attend to and further the cause of Christ and the gospel. Redeeming the time is the will of God for every Christian. There is never a period when redeeming the time ceases to be incumbent upon the child of God. Therefore, we can say with all clarity that redeeming the time is to be the constant practice of every true believer in the year that lies ahead. I want you to feel the absolute necessity in your own soul of redeeming the time throughout 2007 as the Lord spares you. I want you to consider that by looking with me at this text, and we notice here the context in which it is found. When Paul says to these Ephesian believers, redeeming the time because the days are evil, he is speaking to a people who have been converted out of great darkness, out of a background where they had no knowledge of God whatsoever. They were a pagan people, but have been brought to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And against that background, they are now addressed here by the apostle. They are a people who had misspent much time in a sinful lifestyle. Back in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, the apostle Paul reminds these same people of what they had been. He says, in times past, ye walked according to the course of this world. And this is a reference to their unconverted days when they wasted all the time of those years, as many still do. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, gives to us a tremendous insight into this very matter of time having been misspent. And for that reason, we are now, if we're saved, to redeem the time that is available to us. In those verses penned by Peter, 1 Peter 4, 1 to 3, it speaks in verse 2 of the rest of his time, that is the rest of the believer's time, and the remainder of our lives should not be spent in serving the flesh, but in doing the will of God, Peter says. And the reason that he gives is, in verse 3, we've already wasted enough time in the ways of the world. In this term, the term, the time past, means to pass away. It indicates something which is gone forever. And therefore we need to stop and think about that. All the time that we wasted in the year gone by or in previous years is gone forever. And therefore we cannot bring it back again in that sense. But we can redeem the time in another sense, as we will see, by the Lord's help. So Peter and Paul both are addressing those who had misspent so much time in a sinful lifestyle. And the tragedy of that misspent time is emphasized in a number of ways. By the fact of the nature of time. What is time? What is life? Well, James 4 verse 14 gives us the answer, where James actually asks the question, what is your life? And then he says, it is even a vapor. There is the description or the definition of life. It is a vapor. Feeble, fickle, as the mist on a summer's morning. And how long are we here? It appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. It's interesting to notice that our lives are measured in days when we study the Bible carefully. The Lord, while he may refer to a certain man's years, the years of his life, yet you will find that it is often put this way, the days of the years of my life. And therefore, as Moses says in Psalm 90, we are to number our days. All you have, really, in this world is a certain number of days. I don't know what length of days I may have, but I know that measured in the light of eternity, then it is only a certain amount of days. And you see, life not only is measured in days, but when we have misspent those days, well, they just cannot be recovered. A vapor cannot be brought back. It is gone forever. And as it says in 2 Samuel 14, verse 14, we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. But while past time is gone forever, the Lord is able to enable us to make up for the time that we have misspent and we have wasted. And what this means is that the Lord is able to save sinners and enable them to so live the rest of their days on this earth that they can make up for all the time that they have lost. And believers who maybe have wasted years as well are able to have the same experience. I ask you today to consider these words, redeeming the time, buying it back, living to the full the days that God gives you now, and for the rest of your life on this earth, spending it wisely for his glory, for his honour, as a Christian, living every moment for the glory of Christ, and as one who may not yet be saved, even this very day, falling down before the Lord in repentance, turning to him as Saviour, and from this day onwards, living for God, living for holiness, living for the glory of the Lord. May you do that by God's grace and by the power of the gospel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.